Come to the final part, and that's a message that is to the children especially. And as I always like to do, I want to read two verses of Scripture at this time. And we have them in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, and the opening two verses. Let us hear the word of God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just let me say before we come to the message, I don't think we were able to get up and running on sermon audio. People have been trying to tune in tonight, but there's something wrong with the network, so that wasn't possible. But it will be uploaded later if we can do that. So you can see Children's Day evening on sermon audio later. And of course you can get a DVD. So if any child, any parent wants a copy of tonight's service, you can get that. What you see on the screen is what you'll get on the copy of the DVD. Or if you want it just on CD to listen to it in the car or whatever, that'll be fine as well. We're on a journey. All of us. We're on a journey. And we could say our lifetime is the time of this journey. And we begin the journey when we're born. You remember the day when you were born? No, I don't remember my day either because I was so small, so tiny. But that's the day that I began my journey. And when you were born, that was the day that you began yours. And that journey will continue. The years that God gives to you right to the end. And we'll all come to the end of the journey. So we're traveling through. That's important to know. We're just traveling through. This world is not our home. No matter who you are tonight, wherever you come from, old or young, this world is not the home of anyone here. We are all heading to an eternal destination. And I trust and pray that it's to the right one. It's to the place that is called heaven, as you come to know Christ as your Savior. And God has, He's given us a guide. He's given us what we sometimes refer to as a rule of faith and practice. How do you think God guides us in this journey to our destination? What do you think that rule is? What is our guide? Rebecca, the Bible. And the Bible is just like the highway code. Do you know what the highway code is? No. Well, when you come to the age for driving and you want to drive, you will have to learn the highway code. And it used to come in a little booklet form. All right. And I think now you get it on the computer and you look at it and you go through all sorts of examinations on the computer that prepare you for the test when you're tested about the highway code. But the highway code tells you about the journey on the road out there. And there's so many things that we can learn as we travel through the town, through the countryside, because we see signs. And those are things that you learn in the highway code. You know what it is when you're traveling along? There's signs there. Gives you direction. Many of them are warning signs. Whenever I was a wee boy, just like some of you, we used to try and guess, what does that sign mean? Some of them were very easy and some of them were more difficult. But as we traveled through the country, when I drove along or my father was driving, we used to see these signs and he would try and test me and he would say, what does that mean? And I've got some signs with me tonight because I believe that we can learn some great lessons as we think of the Bible tonight, the Bible that is our highway code. As we go along the country, we will come to certain signs. And one of them is this one. It's not an easy one. What does that mean? It means drive on. Stop. Okay. It means stop. And when you see that sign on the road, you are supposed to stop. It's not give way. You must come to a standstill. And children, in the Bible, God wants us to stop also, or in this journey of life that we're on. And he wants to get our attention. He wants us to think. And when you read the Bible, sometimes he uses the word behold. That word behold, when you read it in the Bible, is a very arresting word. And it really is to get our attention and to get us to stop and to look at something. Can you think of any Bible verse that has the word behold in it? Because there's many. Only one hand. Is that the one behind me? Okay, what does it say? Behold the Lamb of God. And in the journey of life, God just wants you to stop, and he wants you to do that. He wants you to look to Christ. That's what John the Baptist said to the people of his day. Can you think of another verse that says, behold? I mentioned one this morning. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And when you find that word there, God just wants you to stop, and he wants you to think about what he's saying. Now is the day when you need to be saved. Now is the day of salvation. We're not to put it off to some other time. There's another verse. It's one of my favorite in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Does anybody know that verse? The words of the Lord Jesus. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And there is a picture of the Savior knocking on the heart's door. And he says, if any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Jesus knocks upon the door of our hearts and he wants to come in. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So when you're driving through the country and you see stop, remember God wants you to stop and he wants you to think about certain things in his word. And then there's another sign. Do you know what that means? Ariana. It kind of looks like a cross. It does, but it's a particular sign that tells you about something on the road. Bethany. It's a junction. That's a big word. I would just say it's a crossroads. All right. And how true it is that in life we come to many crossroads. And there's different ways to take, and we've got decisions to make. And maybe there are people tonight here and you're at a crossroads. I know there's young people and you're finishing part of your education and you're going to now decide where you're going to go for your next step. Maybe it's on to more education. Maybe it's into employment. And it's a big decision and it's a crossroads in your life. But there's an even more important crossroads than that. We used to sing a little chorus, I met Jesus at the crossroads, where the two ways meet. Satan, who was standing there, bid me come his way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today, but I said no, for Jesus is here. See what he offers me? Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me. And children, when you come to the crossroads, the great crossroads of life, to make that decision about eternity, you make sure that you go down the right road and you come to know Christ as your Savior, the one who was able to save you and save you, as the Bible says, to the uttermost if you come. And then there's another one. I think this is easy also. Do you know what that means? Ellie. Does it mean drive on? Well, you could. You certainly could when you see that drive on, because there's no problem. You won't be breaking the law. Stay on that road. Well, that's a very good message too when you think of the gospel. What does it mean? One way. One way. Now, when you see that on the road, it means you're not allowed to go the opposite direction. There's only one way. Some people drive the wrong road. They do. I did it once by mistake because they changed the road. It used to be two way. It was when I was on holiday down in Tavistock, but that's just besides the point. But that means one way. And that reminds us as we see that there is only one way to heaven. You know what Jesus said? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And children, Christianity is a very exclusive religion. Now, it's a very inclusive religion because it includes everybody that will come from all different backgrounds, but it is also very exclusive. And by that, I mean there's no other way to heaven. You can't get to heaven by that religion and that other religion. Jesus says, I'm the way. And he says in that text, there's no other way. You can't come to the Father except you come by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whenever I was over in Canada at Armin's installation, we stopped off in Toronto. And in the Toronto church that evening, there was a young lady who had attended the service, and she came from another religion. And we had a lovely conversation with her at the end of the meeting, just at the door for about 15 minutes. And we had the joy of telling her that there's only one way to heaven. And it's not this other way or some other way that somebody else has dreamed up. Jesus says, I am the way. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Only one way to heaven. One way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. And then we have this. Do you know what that means? They're getting harder now. What does that mean? If you were driving along the road and you saw that, what would you know was ahead? Just so you all see it. You're going to tell me, look. The road gets narrow. And you know, on the journey of life, I'm just reminded that as we set off on the journey of life, we're on the broad road. The broad road that Jesus tells us leads to destruction. And we need to get on to the narrow road. He spoke about these things, didn't he, in Matthew chapter 7? And the narrow road leads to life. It leads to heaven. Are you on the narrow road tonight? The Savior is the only one that can bring you onto the narrow way. It is my prayer that you'll get there. What does that mean? Millie? Not just quite that, maybe. Isaac? Don't turn where? Don't turn right? Are you sure? I changed it, really. There's no right turn, no left turn. And you're going to see these signs on the road and you're traveling along. It means you're not allowed to turn right and you're not allowed to turn left. And that reminded me of a Bible verse. Because in Joshua chapter 1, as God was speaking to his servant, he said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And when we are on this road, if we have come to know Christ, who is the one way to heaven, and we are on to the narrow road, the Lord doesn't want us to turn off. He doesn't want us to turn to the right or to the left. He wants us to keep on going on with the Lord and keeping our eyes upon the Savior. That wee verse that we read earlier, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when I'm on this road, I don't want to be looking at that person, or I don't want to be turning that way or that way. I want to get my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And following on from that, do you know what that one means? Toby, no U-turn. Does that remind you about the Bible too, what the Bible teaches? Jesus said that if a man puts his hand to the plow, you know what a plow is. Today we have tractors that pull the plows, but back then in Bible times, they had a plow that you walked behind. You put your hand to it, and the oxen or maybe the horse drew the plow. He says, no man, he's speaking about the Christian life, putting his hand to the plow and looking back is worthy for the kingdom of God. This teaches me great doctrine in the Bible called perseverance. We believe in the perseverance of the saints to keep on going. And we're not to turn back. The Lord doesn't want us to backslide. He wants us to keep on going on with him. As the wee chorus says, though none should join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Stephen, what would you do if you came to that there? You would drive on through, wouldn't you? You keep her lit. That's a good County Armagh expression. What would you do? What does it mean? No entry. No entry. It means you're not allowed to go there. And children, as you read the Bible and the journey of life, there's places God doesn't want you to go. And there's sins that he wants to keep you from. And so he has given you commandments. You've heard of the commandments, haven't you? The Ten Commandments. Things that God says, thou shalt not. Can you think of any? Thou shalt not kill. That includes hating people. The Lord explained that in the New Testament. Thou shalt not lie. Bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not steal. Yes, the first commandments are to do with idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We'll take one more. Do you have one more? Thou shalt not covet. That's right. You're not allowed to look at my tie and say, I would like that tie. That's coveting. You're not that you're looking at it tonight and saying that, but that's what coveting is. I want that, and I want that, and I want that. We're not to covet. That's not a good thing to do. There are places that God doesn't want you to go, and so there's a no-entry sign. Don't go there. You need to learn that in the journey of life. Do you know what that means? You are getting very, very clever tonight. Has anybody not answered? Sarah? Wee bumps. Do you live out a wee road where there's wee bumps? Huh? Out there towards Stranochan. When the Reverend Roy Stewart moved to Stranochan, nobody knew where he was going. Not awful. We all know where Stranochan is because we're from North Antrim. But people didn't know where it was. And some of these wee country roads, they're bumpy, aren't they? That reminds me also of the Christian life. Sometimes the way is not easy. Sometimes it's not smooth. And there's bumps on the road. And when you hit a bump, if you're going at any speed, you'll know all about it. And there's bumps in the journey of life. It's a bumpy way. And you're going to prove that to be so as you continue in the journey. Sometimes it's persecution. People might laugh at you because you're a Christian. Sometimes it's sickness. Some of the best of God's people can become ill and become very sick. And that's a bumpy way. But we meet with it in the journey of life, don't we? Not so many hands. Do you know, because you haven't answered, do you know what that means? No. But it's very nice of you to put your hand up and make the effort. Thank you very much, Ariana.
It's a really deep hill.
It's a really steep hill. That's what it means. And in this case, it's 10% hill, so you need a wee bit of extra juice to go up a hill like that. Sometimes in the Christian life, there are hills to climb. It's an upward way. Prayer is an upward way. Really praying. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? That's speaking about having fellowship with God, going into the place where you meet with God, like the place of prayer, like the place of Bible study, where God speaks to you and you speak to God. And it's not an easy thing to pray, to really pray through. We children's hymn says, I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? But may the Lord bring us there in the place of prayer. And teach us all, as those that know the Lord, how to pray. Just a couple more signs. You see this sometimes out in the country, you know. See these farmers that are out in the country. It leaves something behind that makes the way slippery. A slippery road. And there are slippery roads when we're going on the journey of life. And the devil would try to make us slip. He would try to make us trip. He would try to get us off the way, and he puts many things there. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if he fall, sometimes we do fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, but the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You remember that in the journey of life, the slippy places. Be careful. Keep your eye on the Lord. And I have one more sign, and with this we will finish tonight. And we started with a simple one. We will end with a simple one. And we all know what that is, even if you can read it tonight. Isn't that right? We know what it is. Somebody who hasn't answered. Go. And you know, my Bible, my highway code, the rule book that God has given, you're going to find that word in the Bible. And it speaks about what we call the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is going into the world and preaching the gospel. That's what Jesus says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And children, if you know Christ as your Savior, the Lord wants you to go. Where do you go? Well, maybe not to Uganda, maybe not to Kenya, maybe not to Nepal, but you go to your friends, go to your family. And if they're not saved, you tell them of Christ. You tell them of the Savior who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We have this responsibility to go to those that we know in our family, friendship circle, in our neighborhood. And then maybe one day as you grow up, you can go into the world. Maybe God has a missionary here. Some of you children, you don't know about it yet. Maybe you do. Maybe even in your childhood, God is dealing with you. And the Lord wants you to be a missionary. And he wants you to go with the gospel to some other country. I was at a prayer meeting a few weeks ago, way down in County Tyrone. And there was one little child at the prayer meeting. And as she came out, I said to her, "What's your name?" And she told me her name. And I says, "How old are you?" And she says, "I'm 10. It was a missionary meeting that I was in. And I said to her, "Maybe one day God will make you a missionary." And I say that to our children tonight. Maybe one day God will make you a missionary. And you could be a missionary to some of these countries that I've mentioned. Jesus says to go. And so tonight, we want you to keep these in mind. You're out on a journey. You're on the road. Some are in the town. Some are in the countryside. You come across these signs. You'll be able to recognize them now. You'll be able to know what they mean. You'll be able to know what the application is in the journey of life, in the rule book that God has given to us. This is the highway code for us all. And may the Lord help us to obey it. As we just close tonight, and in a moment we're going to sing the closing hymn, we think of that one way. We think of the narrow road. We think of children that are here who have come through our Sunday school all year, and maybe still you're not saved. You don't belong to Christ. You haven't got off the broad road onto the narrow way. It is our prayer, all of the teachers, I can speak for them. I can speak for all of the elders of this church and the committee men and the leaders of this church. We want to see the children of our congregation saved. We want to meet you in heaven. If you haven't trusted Christ, you can do that tonight. Maybe some parent that's here, some grandparent is here, and you don't know the Lord. Ariana.
There's a locked toilet and no one's in it.
That's important, isn't it? Well, listen, I'm sure that somebody will help you. There you go to Elaine, and she'll be able to help you. All right. But let's not forget what was said tonight, how important it is to know Christ as your Savior. We'll bow together in prayer. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to sing in a moment or two about the city bright, speaking of heaven, and how that we can get there. Savior, I come to thee. O Lamb of God, I pray, cleanse me and save me. Wash all my sins away. Maybe there's somebody here, you need to pray that. You need to pray it now. God is showing you in his word the way. Christ is the way. And just as you're bowed in prayer before God, why don't you just cry in your heart, Savior, I come to thee. He's the only Savior. O Lamb of God, I pray, cleanse me and save me. Wash all my sins away. If you pray that and you really mean it with all your heart, the Lord will save you and he'll take away your sins.